from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. 39 freshman lawmakers were sworn into office yesterday in Sacramento as family and friends cheered them on. The state legislature this year features the largest class of freshmen since 1966 and a Democratic supermajority in both houses. One thing hasn't changed: the temptation to unveil new legislation on the first day possible. Already there are bills to address drone aircraft, fracking, and school parcel tax. A federal judge in Sacramento has temporarily and partially blocked California from enforcing SB 1172, an impending ban on what's called gay conversion therapy. In a 38-page ruling, U.S. District Judge William Shub ruled the ban, set to go into effect in January, could inhibit the First Amendment rights of three plaintiffs, including two licensed therapists and one aspiring therapist. The ban will not apply to those three people pending resolution of a trial on their complaints. A second similar suit was argued on Friday before another judge. She's expected to deliver her ruling later this week. Ahead of a court order deadline today, LA Unified and its teachers union hammered out a historic agreement. The state's largest school district is now the only school district in California in a position to use student test scores to help evaluate teacher performance. The California Report's education reporter Anna Tentakulis has the story.
LA Unified School Superintendent John Dacey has battled the district's teachers union to use student test scores in teacher evaluations ever since he was hired 2 years ago. He says the deal marks a significant breakthrough, not only for his district, but for California.
So we're able to make progress. It might be slower than some would like, including myself, but we are making that progress, and making that progress in a way that both honors collective bargaining and is serving students.
That's because student test scores will be used as one measure to determine whether a teacher is doing a good job. Evaluations would ultimately be based on a mix of individual and school-wide testing data, such as attendance, graduation, and suspension rates. Warren Fletcher is president of LA's teachers union. He says using a wide array of data is the right way to go. Teachers had resisted using test scores as the only measure of their performance.
As a profession, we always want to get better at what we do. And so just as other parts of California may be able to get some good ideas from what we've agreed to, we can learn from other parts of California as well, and we're eager to do so.
Last November, a nonprofit education group sued the district for not using student test scores in employee evaluations. A judge sided with that group and forced LA Unified and its teachers union to reach an agreement on the issue by today. Now LA joins cities like Chicago in using this data. National education historian Diane Ravitch praises the deal, calling it one of the most sophisticated evaluation agreements. She says test scores alone don't tell the whole story.
Just because students' test scores don't rise doesn't mean their teachers are bad. The kids may have all kinds of problems. They may, come from desperate poverty, and they may not attend school regularly. You really have to know what the situation is.
The Los Angeles Unified School Board still needs to vote on the issue, and members of the district's teachers union still need to ratify the agreement. All of that should take place by the end of the month. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tentakulis.
Several cities like Huntington Beach and San Luis Obispo have spent millions of dollars on desalination feasibility studies and pilot projects. San Diego has taken the plunge and committed to a contract to buy water from what promises to be the largest desalination plant in the country. Allison St. John of KPBS reports.
San Diego is literally at the end of the pipeline and suffers from a deep-seated fear that in a drought situation, the imported water it relies on could be restricted by the LA-based Metropolitan Water District. That's why San Diego city leaders decided to throw their support behind a proposal from a private developer, Poseidon Resources, to build a desalination plant that would produce 50 million gallons of water a day, enough to supply almost 100,000 homes. Chris Cate of the San Diego Taxpayers Association voiced the undercurrent of concern.
It's a very precarious situation where we are heavily relying on imported water, and we want to be in a position where we can control our own destiny.
Even though imported water is less than half the price of desal, Cate says, it's time to invest in a more secure water future. The cost of desalination has led some big projects to fail after they were built, says Heather Cooley, co-director of the Pacific Institute, a Bay Area nonprofit that researches sustainable development. Their studies cite a major Tampa Bay desal plant that had to cut down its production dramatically because it turned out to be economically unfeasible. Cooley cautioned against entering a contract to buy so much water from the desal plant, enough to satisfy about 7% of San Diego's water needs.
What that then does, it locks the water authority and the region into purchasing among the most expensive water supply options available, and therefore disincentivizes the development of less expensive alternatives, including conservation and efficiency.
Cooley pointed out the 30-year contract is for almost all the water the plant can produce, even if other water is cheaper. But in spite of critics who say conservation and water recycling are cheaper and less energy-intensive alternatives, the Poseidon Project was approved with 85% of the vote. Maureen Stapleton, general manager of the San Diego County Water Authority, says their research suggests there'll come a point when desalinated water is cheaper than imported water.
We think it's about 2026, but that's really dependent on what happens with imported water supplies. We all know that the Bay Delta is extremely fragile and is technically broken now, is under strict regulations for how much can be pumped. And depending upon that solution and the cost of that solution, that crossover may be earlier.
Opponents say the contract favors private investors over ratepayers, who are vulnerable to unexpected price hikes, especially if the cost of energy needed for the reverse osmosis process goes up. But Peter McLagan of Poseidon Resources says the contract is designed to protect ratepayers.
The Water Authority doesn't pay for any water until it's produced and delivered into their system, meeting quantity and quality specifications. So if anything goes wrong in the construction phase, the operational phase, cost overruns of any nature are borne by the private sector partner in this relationship, which is Poseidon.
Poseidon's been working on the project for 14 years and has already obtained all the permits to build the plant. McLagan says it could be producing fresh water for the region from the ocean within 4 years. For the California Report, I'm Allison St. John in San Diego.
And finally, former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is teaming up with blockbuster director James Cameron and a couple of veteran 60 Minutes producers for a documentary series on climate change. The series, called Years of Living Dangerously, will air on Showtime next year, starring Matt Damon, Don Cheadle, Alec Baldwin, and presumably some climate change scientists. That's the California Report for Tuesday, December 4th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org.